Harold Fries at his home in Palo Alto, California, from the UW, and this is 3rd February, 1976.
The first thing, I was wondering if any plans exist now for the Bruce antenna that Jansky used. Do you know if there are still any drawings or something?
I don't think so. That was a very simple one, you know.
Right. Do you happen to remember how many wavelengths that the center of the antenna was above the ground?
Oh, well, I've forgotten now. It's not very high, but very close to the ground.
Yeah, well, I tried to estimate it from a photograph, but I'm trying to accurately calculate what the antenna pattern was.
I see.
And that's why I'd like to know.
I've forgotten now what the wavelength is. It about half wavelength long?
It's about a third of a wavelength. But I was wondering if you happen to know exactly what it was.
No, I
suppose it was whatever was convenient.
Right.
For the 2x4s or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know if there are any photos or logbooks that exist of this period that either you have or Bell Labs has or anything like this?
Any more?
And any other photographs or logbooks?
No, I don't have anything.
Do you know of anyone that does have any? A picture in what?
In that big book that Bill Labs got out.
Oh, yes, yes.
Visionary.
Right. Visionary?
Yeah.
And when was that put out? I'm not sure I've seen that.
That was just a year ago or something.
And it had an article about Jansky?
Yes, that's a good article about Jansky.
Okay. Now, do you know what happened to the original logbooks and so forth that he had? There was no effort made to preserve them, as far as you know.
Maybe the Bell Labs know where they are.
Yeah. The same with the original records, I guess.
Right.
Okay. Well, let me ask some specific questions, then, about your article. You say here that you imply that Jansky was quite famous in his own time, with this New York Times article and so forth. And I was wondering, was that true, that there was an awful lot of publicity for it and so forth? Well, I was wondering, really, how famous Jansky was in his own time. Was he widely recognized by radio engineers as having made a...
Not very much, because nobody took much interest. Astronomers didn't care about it.
And why do you think that was?
I don't know. I don't understand it.
And what about the radio engineers?
Well, that was about the same.
Why do you think it was that they got turned on to... The radio engineers got turned on to radio astronomy after World War II, but not in the 1930s.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
That little paper I wrote.
Yes.
You know, there was the man, what's his name now? Schelling, John Schelling.
That's right, you mentioned him, right?
Yeah, John Schelling. He knew all about Jansky, too.
I see. Do you know where he is now? And let me see if I can find where you mention him. Where exactly is Deal?
Oh, it's a little south of Flipping.
I see. And has he retired living there?
He's just there now, yes.
I see. Okay, maybe I'll try to get a hold of him too.
Okay, yes, I think because Jansky, he made a little comment on my little article about Carl, you know, Jansky.
I see. I see. Why did he think that?
Because I didn't think we could place Jansky enough. You know, that whole business was funny, you know.
In what way?
In way, you know, that when Jansky got a job from the me, you know.
Right.
He had troubles, you know, with his
kidneys, I think. I see. That's right. You mentioned that in the article.
Yes, and he came down to me, you know. He came down to me, you know, at Hopedale. So I thought, well, the right job for him is just to measure what direction static comes in.
Right.
So
Right.
And then I had a receiving set. A receiving was the best receiving set in existence. Because that receiving set could distinguish between static noises and steady noises.
Right. What do you think was its noise figure? Right.
I'm sure that was a good one.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And you...
So I would say the Stansky door was a perfect technical help.
Right.
And he really took care of his job and took all the data all the time. And then he noticed, you know, after a year, that things used to come at the same time.
Right. That was Skellet.
Skellet, yes.
Do you know where Skellet is now?
I don't know exactly where he is, but he was made, I'm sure that Schelling can tell you.
I see.
Because Skellet, he was an astronomer, you know.
Who did he work for then?
He worked for Schelling.
And was that for which company, Bell Labs?
Yeah, the Bell Labs, yes. He worked for Schelling.
And so Skellet was the one that taught Jansky the astronomy, essentially?
He was the one that told him that it came from the center. The noise that came from the center of the Milky Way.
Right.
So Skellet was a really very important man.
And was Skellet the one that recognized that the fact that it was coming 4 minutes earlier every day implied that it was...
Well, I thought that I could show that, you know.
Right. But was Skellet the one that recognized why that was so important?
Well, I can't tell that.
You're not sure? I see.
But, Jansky had a very interesting father. His father, you know.
In what way do you mean now?
His father.
Oh, his brother. Yes, I talked to his brother. He died a year ago, but I did talk to him.
He was a wonderful fellow.
Yes, I did. I was glad I got to talk to him.
And he was the one, you know, that got Jansky to use the noise from the stars to open.
Which meeting was that now?
The meeting there in the meeting in New York. In
yes, of the IRE. Right. Now, what was your relationship to Jansky? Were you his direct supervisor?
Yes, I was direct supervisor.
And when he came upon this cosmic noise, or whatever you want to call it, star static, did you allow him to just continue working with it? Yeah.
So I put him on that job.
I see. And this is in 1933, you mean now?
Later.
Oh, you're talking about later.
Later.
Okay, before we get to later, I have a couple other questions here. You mentioned that in 1934, Jansky attempted to get cosmic noise at 4 meters wavelength. And you say that he was not successful. And I was wondering, was this ever published in an internal report or anything like that? Because that would be very interesting to know what the upper limit was that he found.
Yeah.
But you can't remember.
Yeah, no, I don't remember.
Okay. Now, in this article, you talk about that in 1938, Carl dropped the study of star noise,
uh-huh.
And later on that you were criticized by people that thought that you had stopped him.
Right.
And I just want to know if you still feel the same way, that it was mainly because there was no encouragement from the outside that... Right.
He was surprised at that.
But I've heard from various sources, I've never been able to confirm it, that Jansky had a proposal for a 100-foot antenna of some kind. That
no.
He, is that true?
That was all a fiction, you know. I remember still, there was a man, Pfeiffer. You remember man, Pfeiffer?
Right.
That wrote about Jansky.
He wrote a popular book, yeah.
And he came to Hopedale.
Right.
To see Jansky.
And are you saying that he's the one that made up the story about the 100-foot antenna?
Yeah, he's the one that made it up. And then, you know, when we talked when Vitensky was there and all the people, Pfeiffer asked me, was he a scientist? I said, no, Vitensky was just a good electrical engineer, and he was just as good as my other people.
Uh-huh.
And there was eight other people there. And that's what the Pfeiffer couldn't understand.
I see. I see. So, then, as far as you know, then Jansky never made any attempts to extend the work beyond what he did.
That's right. And then that other fellow, you know, another man started it, you know.
You mean Reber?
Yes, Reber.
Oh, yes. I've talked to Reber quite a bit.
And Jansky liked him very much.
What was Jansky's reaction to Reber's work? I see.
And they liked his mother very much.
Did you ever meet Reber or visit his antenna?
I've forgotten it now. Jansky did, I know.
I see. And still, Jansky didn't care about having his own 30-foot antenna like Reber's or anything?
No.
So he more or less apparently had decided that that was enough and he was going to move on to low-noise receivers and things like this.
Right.
Now, during World War II, you mentioned that, of course, there was pressing radar work to be done. But I was wondering why, when you had much higher sensitivities and larger antennas and so forth and higher frequencies, why you didn't try to sneak in a project Look at the Sun or something like that, something like Southworth did.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It just didn't occur to you. Right.
You know, Jansky was working on that.
On direction finding from submarine radar?
Yes, that's right.
Right. But there were no attempts to detect the sun or anything that were unsuccessful that may not have been published anywhere?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what Jansky's reaction was to radio astronomy after the war? Was he delighted to see it expanding like it was?
Oh, yes.
But still, he was content to stay at Bell Labs and not do radio astronomy.
I think so, yeah.
But I guess he was growing quite ill by this time also.
Oh, yes, he was, yes.
You mentioned in the article that he wrote a report on a meeting that he went to at NRL on radio astronomy in 1948.
48?
Right. And you say that he wrote a detailed report on this conference.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, could you possibly find a copy of this somewhere? Maybe, do you have any archives?
I don't think I can. No, I don't. I've forgotten about that.
Do you have any archives of your own that that you could possibly look through?
No.
Or have you deposited them anywhere?
No.
So all these things are just...
That was on the court in, you said, 48?
Yes.
I've forgotten about that 48 meeting.
Well, you mentioned it here in your article. I've never heard of it myself. It must have been an informal conference.
Uh-huh.
But it would be very interesting to see what Jansky's opinions were about radio astronomy in 1948.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any idea where we might get a copy of a...
Well, you can try now with Schelling, you know.
Yeah.
Schelling can do something more.
Okay.
Have you got Schelling fan on?
No, I don't. Do you have it there?
I have it here.
Yeah, okay. If you could give it up to me, it'd be very helpful.
Well, let's just see. Just take a second.
Okay.
That's the end of the interview with Harald Fries over the phone between UW and Palo Alto, California on 3rd February 76, and that's the end of this side of the tape also.